Everybody, I'm Maureen. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for coming back. So tonight I'm going to talk about step 8 and step 9. And I just wanted to let you know that to prepare for this, I go from the big book, the 12 and 12, and the Hazleton pamphlets, step pamphlets. So Greg had mentioned step 8 and read that, but I'd like to read it again and read the front of the 12 and 12. Step 8 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. This and the next two steps are concerned with personal relations. Learning to live with others is a fascinating adventure. Obstacles, reluctance to forgive, non-admission of wrongs to others, purposeful forgetting, necessity of exhaustive survey of past, deepening insight results from thoroughness, kinds of harm done to others, avoiding extreme judgments, taking the objective view. Step 8 is the beginning of the end of isolation. So also step 8 is preparing for change. And in steps 4 and 5, we start to take responsibility for our actions, realize that we had a part, and I realized that I had part in the conflicts that I had with the people in my life and also the institutions by doing step 4 and 5. In step 6 and 7, I recognized the defects, the obstacles, the shortcomings that caused this disconnect. I had a willingness to work on them that came with step 7, that I had a willingness to look at that, because as always said, the steps come in order. So I had to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 to get to step 8, because that is the foundation for the next step. So for me, when I talk with my sponsor about step 8, the barriers that I had to take a look at that were identified in steps 6 and 7 were selfishness and self-centeredness. And through that selfishness and self-centeredness, I hurt others because I wanted what I was a person that wanted instant gratification. I was trying to take care of that pain inside of me. And so I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And, I hurt people to get that. And it didn't make a difference either. When I got what I wanted, then I wanted something else. I was never satisfied. And I wanted to be, because I felt like I didn't fit in, I wanted to feel accepted. I wanted approval from others. I wanted to fit in. So I made poor choices because of that, maybe hurting people because I had something planned to go with them, but I ignored that and I went with the people that I wanted to fit in with, and my drinking buddies, basically. Step 8 is all about cleaning my side of the street, not pointing out the faults in the others that I need to make the amends to. So to make that list, I have to do that prayerfully, and I have to make sure that I've really done a thorough step 4 and 5. And so I do that by working with my sponsor on that. We review that step 4 and 5, make sure that the people that I talked about in that step are on my list. And because I've gone on and done step 6 and 7, I'm getting a little more thorough and reaching down a little deeper inside of me. So, as I did step 8 and 9, there were a couple other people that surfaced, because as I started to look at my character defects and realize that everything was not everybody else's fault, then a couple more people surfaced. So as I said, I have to prayerfully make that list. recognizing that those we are making amends to may not accept them. You know, when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was brand new. I wanted everybody to know that I was sorry and I meant it. But unfortunately, when I was making those apologies, it was like apology number million, you know. And the other thing is that my behavior didn't change in the beginning. So I would make an apology to somebody, like to my husband in particular, but then I would kind of backslide with my behavior because I was brand new. And so what I was saying wasn't matching my actions. So that's why, you know, later on, I had to go back to him in step 8 and step 9. It's all about peeling away another layer. For me, just reinforcing to me that sobriety is an inside job. It's the inside work. And the amends that had to be made for me were physical and financial amends. And then that, by making those amends that I was going to make to the people that were going to be on my list, that was all part and is part of my spiritual growth, because there's still people today that, you know, I have to make amends to. And when I get into step 10 and 11, you know, that's the ongoing process with my review of conscience and making direct amends. I use my step 5 to reflect on making my list, as I said. I identified my character defects and shortcomings. I delved deeper in the ways I had directly and indirectly harmed others. In step 8, just like the other steps, willingness is the key. I had to be willing. I mentioned that I may have caused harm to others because we wanted approval and acceptance. This may have resulted in ignoring people, gossip, ridicule to make me look good in the eyes of others, you know, especially that gossip thing. You know, that was one of my character defects, and that was my intent. It wasn't malicious, but it did harm others. One of the reasons that I made amends and continue to make amends is to move beyond the guilt, shame, and remorse that I carried around, that wreckage of my past. Also, to reinforce the humility that I gained from doing step 4, 5, 6, and 7. You know, as I ventured into step 9 after making my list in step 8, I wanted to do that humbly, you know, recognize that I had a part in it, that it wasn't the other person's fault, and to live in truth and to live in the present and not have my past haunt me. Steps 1 through 7 for me were about rebuilding my relationship with myself. It was really all about me. And developing a relationship with a higher power. I did have a relationship with a higher power before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, but it wasn't anything like I got once I got here and got working the steps and working with the sponsor. So making a list of the people I harmed. And many, like I said, I had already said sorry to. And I wanted everybody to know how sorry I was. So when I went to make the list, I have to do it with a clear head. I have to be clear. And that helps to take that clutter out, helps me to focus. And to be honest, once the name's down, I had to own it. You know, once I put that name on the list, that gave me some some obligation to that person. I could no longer just carry it around with me. I was naming it. So, you know, to be honest and to review that, before I went on to step nine, I had to review that list with my sponsor, and she helped me to maybe add additional people because she was, you know, she did my fourth and fifth step with me, so she knew who I talked about in my fourth and fifth step. So it helped me to identify maybe others that I needed to put on that list. And then also, I made two lists. I had the step, my first list were the persons that were automatic. I mean, that was going to be my parents. That was going to be my brothers, my husband. So those were the main people on my number one list. And then on my number two list were people that, you know, I had people that I don't see anymore, like people from college, people that I worked with. I think about when I worked, when I tend to bar at Rick and Barry's, and, you know, how I took advantage of that situation. That went on my number two list because who knew if I was going to see those people. I didn't really have any deceased people on my list. I know oftentimes, like women I've worked with, they have on their number two list, they might put people that are deceased because definitely you can't make that amends in person. But as I go into step nine now, I'll tell you what I have the women I sponsor do if they do have somebody that's deceased. So the list is made, list one, list two. I've reviewed it with my sponsor, been as honest as I can be about it, and tried to do it timely, you know, fairly quickly after I did step six and seven, move right into step eight. You know, some of the reasons that people delay on that is fear. Procrastination that maybe was identified. I know that was identified for me in step seven as one of my character defects, you know, putting it off, fear of rejection. And the other reason people might delay is they feel that they don't owe the person an amends. And those are the ones that definitely need to be made. Those are character building. So step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. In the 12 and 12, it says a tranquil mind is the first requisite for good judgment. Good timing is important in making amends. What is courage? Prudence means taking calculated chances. Amends begin when we join AA. Peace of mind cannot, in our group conscience, wait a minute, peace of mind, sorry, be bought to the expense of others. Need for discretion, readiness to take consequences of our past and to take responsibility for well-being of others in the spirit of step nine. So, as I mentioned earlier in step nine, there's many people, particularly my parents, you know, my brothers and husband, that I had said I'm sorry to over and over. And, you know, I think about my brothers, and neither one of them even knew why I was saying I was sorry. I mean, that's the other reason for making amends and getting it out there, is that you carry that around and you think it's this horrible thing and you were this horrible person that did these things. At least my experience is that most of the amends I made when I went to the person, it was like, it really was no big deal, you know, but I carried that around for so long that it's so important to get it out. So, as I said, it should not be put off. Some of the other reasons that it may be put off, though, is resentment. You might have a resentment against a person. That wasn't my experience, but I have had that happen with women that I sponsor, that they just don't feel that they owe the amends, that they are on the side that the other person did wrong to them and they don't owe the amends. And resentments, of course, we know can be very deadly. And self-righteousness, you know, that was a character defect that I identified that I didn't know I had. That is another reason. And playing the victim, like, poor me, why should I say I'm sorry? They did it all to me. But it really comes down to all persons we have harmed. And that's where a sponsor comes in, like I said earlier, to review step five with your sponsor again to make sure you're getting everybody. So the reason for amends too is because we've harmed people emotionally, physically, spiritually, and financially. And if you have a name and you're not sure if it belongs on the list, like I said, you know, consult your sponsor. Of course, with all the steps, you want to do those closely with your sponsor. And an amends, you have to realize, I had to realize that that's so much more than apology. It's not an apology, it's change behavior. There's change behavior that have to come with your words, which is different from just saying, I'm sorry. So, as was said in the 12 and 12, you know, timing is the key. I mean, I made some amends before I did step 8 and 9, just because I would run across a person and I knew that I owed them an amends. So I would take that opportunity to do that because I didn't know if I would get it again. But most of my amends, which I'm going to say honestly too, I haven't made a lot of direct amends. Sister Stephanie used to always tell me that the greatest amends that I'm going to make to people is going to Alcoholics Anonymous and changing my life. You know, that's the greatest amends and to stick with it. But the people that I did make amends with, before I did it, I prayed for willingness and I prayed for a forgiving spirit. And the way I knew about a forgiving spirit is because when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, the relationship I had with my higher power was that God, that Catholic God that I had that was up in the sky, the punishing God. But as I started to work my steps and work with my sponsor, I started to experience a forgiving God, a forgiving higher power. And so I had that experience going into doing my step 9, which since I experienced it, I felt more comfortable about experiencing it with others, like asking others to forgive me. And always remember, too, that it's progress, not perfection. And as I said before, we make amends to move beyond guilt, shame, remorse, to rebuild character and reinforce humility. It's about repairing the past. And I started with those that I felt most comfortable with, which would be my family. I started with my first husband, and I can't say, you know, the words were, yes, I forgive you, but he never really did. And that's the other risk you have to take, and you have to know that, you know, it's about, I do this step for me. I make the amends, and whatever happens on the other end, I've cleaned my side of the street. And the other thing is, too, with it, is you can't have expectations because you're pretty much always going to be let down. It's not going to go totally the way you think it's going to go. At least for me, particularly with him, it didn't. But I did sit down and try to specifically name instances and ask forgiveness. And then with my parents, they never really recognized that I had an alcohol problem, even to their graves. They went to their graves not really believing that I was an alcoholic. But I made amends to them, you know, and tried to, again, cite examples where I could have been more responsible, where I could have been there for them. You know, alcohol would take me away from the people that I loved. I mean, that's why I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. So, but I did make amends to them, and I made a living amends, I believe, as Sister Stephanie had said, you know, to work on changing my life and to be there for them. My brothers, the same. Neither one of them, I don't think they just thought I was irresponsible. I mean, there were a couple times with both of them that when I was drinking that they had to be there for me to clean up my mess. But even they're both living today, and they know that my life has changed. They definitely know my life has changed. And I believe they know it's because of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I don't know if they believe that it was, you know, that I'm an alcoholic. But that doesn't matter. You know, when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, that was so important to me that you knew that I was an alcoholic and how much I drank. And today I know that all that matters is that I know I'm an alcoholic. So some of the other amends I made were to my steady boyfriend that I had in college. I wrote him a letter. And he wrote me one back. And again, like I talked about earlier, you know, he said it was no big deal. He said that, you know, we were just partying. Well, I know it was more than that, but I did make my amends to him, and he actually made an amends back to me. My best friend growing up, she was one of the ones where I wanted to fit in, and I wanted to fit in, and I wanted approval, particularly from the people that partied and drank, and she didn't. She drank with me, but not the way I did. And so I remember the one time in particular that she had just gotten a new home, and she was having a housewarming, and I chose to go out and party. And by the time I got to the open house, I was drunk and other things. And, you know, she was already established in her life. She was married, had a baby, and I was still out there partying. So I owed her an amends. And my college roommate was my greatest enabler, always there to clean it up for me, clean me up. And I made an amends to her through an email. I did it, yeah, because I don't really see her. Since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, a couple amends that I made were my husband, when we were married for about 19 years, had an affair. And so a couple of years ago, I ran into her and we stood in the grocery store, and I made an amends to her, and she made one to me, you know, for how crazy life was. And that was like a spiritual experience for me. Some of the amends that I made are like a spirit. You definitely feel the spiritual growth when you do that, when you're able to face that. And another one was a woman in the rooms that we didn't see eye to eye, and there was really no reason for it. And this year we made an amends to one another, and it's, again, it's the same thing. It was like real spiritual growth. Just to experience that forgiveness, to be able to forgive somebody, not to have to hold on to that any longer. I think for me, it's given me a lot of freedom, and it's really helped me to address my character defects that I had in step 6 and 7, you know, that being judgmental, being self-righteous, you know, it really has caused me to be softer with people, to be more open, more empathetic. By doing this step, I know there are more amends that I need to make. It's an ongoing process, but you know, as I said, when I get to step 10 and 11, that especially step 10, that really addresses that. No. And then that's where the promises really, once I did step 8, that's really where I started to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Didn't regret the past or want to shut the door on it. Wasn't afraid to people or financial insecurity. I mean, that's where the promises really started to open up when I was able to do step 8 and 9. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
So now we have some time to open this up for some questions. Whoever has a question for Maureen, please just go ahead and unmute yourself and you can go ahead. Who's first?
Hi, this is Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Lisa.
So I have a question. You know, I think like if you talk about your story with your girlfriend who had the housewarming and you arrived at the party after you, you know, had so many and that you were drunk, and that's an obvious amend that has to do with alcoholism because you've, you know, overindulged and your behavior reacted like that. But how about when a need for an apology doesn't involve the drinking, but the alcoholic behavior? Like it's easy for me. I'm fearful. I have self-esteem things. And if somebody would say something mean, I might have reared back and said something even as a young person before alcohol was a problem for me, but it's the same thing that makes me an alcoholic is my inability that, you know, do your mans follow that as well?
Right. Because I mean, that could even happen. It does happen today. My alcohol, I have ism, you know, so that alcoholism still, and that alcoholic behavior still comes out, okay. You know, so that's when I'm, you know, doing reviewing, you know, in step 10 and hopefully more promptly admitting it and making the amends. But yeah, just because I put down the drink doesn't mean I don't have alcoholism because okay. I have the isms.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who else has a question?
Hi, Maureen. Helen, alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
thank you so much for sharing tonight on 8 and 9, and I appreciate everything you had to say. And you said that you really didn't have any amends that you were unwilling to make. And I congratulate you on that. Because
really didn't.
What do you do then with women that you're sponsoring who know that they need to make an amends to someone, but they just are not willing to do it?
I mean, we just have to keep revisiting it. I don't know what else to say. I actually do have somebody that I sponsor that I'm in that situation. And, you know, it's kind of like it affects her behavior. I mean, it affects her program because, you know, if you're not willing to change, things aren't going to change. And the only thing I can do is to just keep revisiting it with them. I mean, I'm not going to let them go or anything like that because, I mean, but you just have to keep revisiting it with them.
Thank
you. I don't know. I mean, you know, as a sponsor, we only suggest, we don't tell. I mean, we strongly suggest, but I can't do it for her.
Yep. Thank you.
Who else has a question?
Hi, Maureen. This is Jack. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jack.
It's good to see you. I was traveling last week, couldn't be here, so it's good to be back. Sort of the opposite of Helen's question. I remember wanting to make an amends where it was suggested to me that maybe I had ulterior motives and that maybe it was an amend that shouldn't be made. So, I mean, just as you said, my sponsor doesn't tell, but I was left with a very strong impression that this was not an amend I should make. I wonder if you have encountered anything like that, either in your own.
No, but situation. I should have mentioned that. I guess a good example of that would be, of course, if you were married or in a relationship and you had infidelity, you know, that there would be no point to that, you know, to make that amends. I did have that happen for me when I was drinking, not my husband, but before I was married. I think in particular of one instance where I was with my girlfriend and you know, was with her boyfriend. And there would be no point to that, because that's when they talk about injuring others, you know. And the selfishness of that would be to get that off my plate. But what would that do to her, you know? So that's just an example. Is that what you meant, Jack?
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Okay.
Who else has a question?
Sandy, do you have a question? You're on there. She's muted.
No, I'm here, Maureen. Okay. No, but I, you know what? I've gotten a lot out of it. Maybe I do. And it would be this: for those people that are deceased that you never got to make an amends to, would you recommend writing a letter?
Yes. Yeah. I never did mention that, but yes, writing a letter would go into their gravesite. I know that, and my husband, he did do this series also. What he did with one of the guys he sponsored was had him go to the gravesite and leave his coin and make the amends right there. But writing a letter, definitely.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then another amends is to ourselves. You know, I had to make an amends to myself and to forgive myself, because I thought all the things that I did and all the problems that I had were, I did that on purpose, you know. And really a lot was due to my alcoholism. So for me, it was journaling. You know, journaling helped with forgiving myself. And the more that I was able to make amends to others and continue to work my steps, the more I was able to forgive myself, because I had a better understanding of my alcoholism. And by then, I do today have a relationship with a very loving and forgiving God in my life.
Hi, Maureen. Gretchen, alcoholic.
Hi, Gretchen.
I'm getting a lot of work done with these meetings.
She's doing her serenity room.
Anyhow, so one of the things I was thinking about, and something I experienced, and maybe you can share whether you had your own experience or what you tell your girls, your sponsor. You know, I did a lot of drinking out in the bars, out in the clubs. And so there were a lot of people that I stole from, you know, that my behavior was inappropriate. And I found that I did owe them amends, but obviously, you know, they're so numerous that it wasn't something I could do one-on-one. So what was your experience, or what do you recommend for people like that?
I guess for me personally, like I mentioned, like when I worked at Rick and Barry's for Barry Grossman, you know, when I first came into AA and I would see him sometimes, I would like want to hide. I wouldn't want to make eye contact with him. You know, I would feel it would just bring up all that stuff, make me feel bad about myself. And then you know, as I moved along in my sobriety, I don't know if I actually made an amends to him, but I was able to look him in the eye and be more comfortable around him because I was doing that inside stuff. And so I don't think it was really an amends, but it was still very freeing to be able to do that. There weren't really any establishments that I, because really who I hurt the most when I did that, Gretchen, was myself. You know, that was really an amends to me. Like I think about another place where I worked and I tend a bar, and I didn't really steal from them, but I took advantage, you know, very manipulative, and I took advantage. And but it really didn't harm them, but it harmed me. It was more about harming me in those situations. So that was me making amends to me. Same with some of the college friends, because really, when I was in college, that's where it really took off. And so I would run into some of my college friends, and I wouldn't even, I felt less than, you know, because I had partied so much. And there were occasions here in Erie that I would run into people and make amends, and it'd be like, oh, it's no big deal. We all did it. You know, I'm carrying that around and feeling so bad about myself. So, and not really for me, Gretchen, it wasn't an amends to the establishment. It was more to me and my behavior.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm Wendy, alcoholic addict.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Maureen. I heard something you said in the beginning, and I actually don't know the exact words, but maybe I'll just put it in my own words. Something about you made amends to your husband, but you found out later it needed to be more of an amends. I don't know if you remember saying that.
Yeah. It like I made the words, but that wasn't enough. You know, it had to be change behavior. Is that what you mean?
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe you found something more insightful about yourself that you, I'm sorry, but now I say I'm sorry for this or that.
Well, the thing is with that situation, and I'm sure others that have been married before and now are divorced in the rooms can, it's not enough. It's never going to be enough. You know, there's just too much damage that's been done. And the other thing too is to remember when we're making amends to people, they don't have a 12-step program like we do. You know, that really enters into it. So for me to make amends to him, it's reached the past and no return, you know, for him, you know, through the years. He didn't have any place to take those resentments that he had. So, you know, in the beginning, everything was the pink cloud for both of us because, you know, I was getting better. I was going to Alcoholics Anonymous and all. Well, then he realized that it was here to stay, that I was going to continue to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and be out of the home. And so it was never enough. And that's where I had to realize that I did what I could do. I cleaned my side of the street and that I didn't have to be a dork. So what happened for me is that I realized I didn't have to be a doormat anymore. I didn't have to keep making amends over and over again.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Maureen.
Yes,
hi,
Kevin.
This is Bruce.
Oh, Bruce. Sorry. I thought you sounded like Kevin.
Well, hi, I'm Bruce. Trying to not let him get in. I'm kidding. Anyway, I didn't hear you say anything about living amends. Do you have anything?
Well, the living amends when Sister Stephanie and I first did this step, you know, she said, you're really, most of the people in your life, you're going to be making a living amends. And a living amends is that you're going to try to live as honestly as you can. You're going to try to think of others, that if you say something, you follow through on it, you know, that you're not going to backslide to the way you were before. You're going to continue to grow and move forward. And So for me, you know, those are the people that are close to me in my life, like my children, which always doesn't go so great, but I'm making the effort. And, you know, my parents when they were living, my brothers, my other immediate family members.
I agree with you 100%. I think the person that I did hurt the most is the one I'm the most living in amends with.
Yeah.
And
it's not always enough, though. You know, but you just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Bruce.
Anyone else?
Hi, Rena Alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
And I thought, Bruce, I thought you sounded like Kevin, too.
Thank you, Rena.
I'm going to help you keep them out. just kidding. So I heard a lead one time where this girl was sexually abused by her dad. And when it came time for this step, her sponsor, she said to her sponsor, what could possibly have been my part in that? And her sponsor said that you allowed him to make you his victim, you know, all these years later. So have you ever had anything, you know, similar and, you know, something as horrible as that that you had to deal with, and how did you handle it?
Well, I have had women that have been sexually abused. I'm thinking about one in particular. But she did make the amends. It was to her ex-husband, and she did make the amends. I don't agree with that, especially if they're a young person like that. I guess I don't agree with that. In that instance, maybe if they didn't have the courage, maybe to just write a letter. That might be that direct amends might be harmful to her. And the other thing I read too is that sometimes when you work this step, you need outside help to be able to do it. And maybe in that instance, a person might.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Kevin?
I am Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. I waited as long as I could. Anyway, have you ever had yourself or somebody that you worked with when it was a difficult amends and you'd worked, you know, kind of a scenario out of how you were going to carry it out and take care
of it. Yeah, kind of like, yes.
And yes. Then it went sideways. They didn't accept
it. Not really. It. No, I haven't had the experience where it's gone sideways. But yes, I have done, I'll often do role playing, you know, especially if it's one that somebody's afraid to make or they don't think that they need to make it. Then we do some role playing. But I haven't had any that have gone sideways. No, okay. I really haven't.
And one of the things that I always have to say, just because for myself, is that when I was relatively newly sober, I was a couple of years sober, and a friend of mine, son, got sober, and she called me and cussed me out and said, "This, you know, your GD program and blah, 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 blah." And what happened was is this guy had a couple, 3 weeks sobriety, and went out and made an amends and landed up in prison.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I always, when we're on this step, I always share that story that if you know somebody who's new and they're, you can tell by they're jumping around in their own skin and they want to make an amends, to make sure that they don't, number one.
Right.
You can talk them off that ledge because, you know, this person landed up in prison. And
you know, that's why sponsorship, I mean, is so important. because this is not a self-help program. I can't say it enough. We cannot do these steps on our own. We've got to have the guidance of a sponsor. And the other steps besides that happening is I really firmly believe your sponsor needs to let you know when you're ready to do step 4 and 5, because I've seen it happen where people do step 4 and step 5 too soon before they really understand that they're an alcoholic and they think they're this bad person trying to get good. And all this stuff comes to the surface, but they don't have a relationship with a higher power yet. And then what do they do with it? You know, they can't handle it and they go back out and they drink. Yeah, that's why, I mean, the steps are in order and they need to be done with the sponsor.
Thanks, Maureen. Great job again.
Thank you, Maureen. I think that takes us to the end of our time this evening. So
thanks, everybody. Thank you.
We appreciate it once again. Now, what steps are you covering?